This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of freedom and peace, we cannot be free that of which we know not. Help us realize what binds us, constricts us, afflicts us. God of freedom and peace, we cannot fully help others until we accept your love for ourselves. Open our hearts to be healed. Help us see and help those around us. God of freedom and peace, help us honor your Sabbath, that we may hear your voice, feel your touch, and live your way, your truth, your life. Amen. Please be seated. Many of you know about Canuga Conference Center. It's this wonderful place where we've been going for years and years and years with our youth and young adults and also those who work with youth. We go twice a year, and it's in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and just fabulous. Well, when I was the youth group leader here many, many years ago, I would go up, and when my youngest child was just 3 or 4, Andrew, he would go with me, and they provided this place called the Little Red Schoolhouse for those of us that would be there with our youth that needed a place for our little ones to go. And so it was this magical moment when you would see them running down the hill to go to the Little Red Schoolhouse, not looking back. You'd wave to the teacher, and just you knew that everything was going to be fine. Go back at the end of the day to pick him up, and he didn't want to come back with me. He was having such a great time. That's how Canuga is. So one day, he did want me to come and pick him up. I went, and he comes running up, and he's waving. He's going, "Mom, Mom, Mom," and waving and waving. And I look, he's got a cast on his arm. So I go up to, I said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And he's going, "Yeah, I'm okay, Mom." And he just looked great. Well, I, as a mom, started to get a little miffed here that nobody called me. And so the teacher was there, and I walked over to the teacher once I knew he was okay. And I, "Why didn't you call me? What happened?" And so she started to talk, but I could feel myself getting more and more agitated about this. And then I started to look around, and all the kids had casts on. They had done this exercise, this experiential Good Samaritan thing, and put these fake casts on. And I was so tunnel-visioned with my own perspective, my own way of seeing things, bound up, you might say, that I couldn't see the truth. And the truth then set me free from all that anxiety, from all that anxiety. We get bound up by so many things in our lives and assume that we know things when we don't, over and over. And today's message is all about being free in God and in Christ. So I'd like to use a little bit of an example of something I think we can all relate to, three different ways where you are free from the bounding of time, free from the boundage of time. So think about when you were in school, or maybe you're still in school now. Thomas, you can relate, I bet. And you see the clock ticking. It's the last class of school. You're waiting to get out of class, and it's tick, 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 and you can wait, just waiting for it, the bell to ring. It rings, and you're like, ah, right? In that moment, you're free from the boundage of time. Even if you love school, like I did, I still was looking forward to that bell ringing. So that's one example. Another example is when you're getting ready to go on vacation, and you're just finishing up, you put the computer on away mode, you've done your voicemail the same way, everything is ready, set, all the subs, whatever you've got to do. Maybe if you're retired, you've got your animals taken care of, and you get out of the house, and you get in your car, right? It's just this sublime moment of being free. Maybe it's when every night when you lie down in bed and you put your head on the pillow and you're like, all right. Yeah. Well, that gives you a taste of being free from those certain boundaries. And yet there are deeper and deeper ways that we can be freed from the boundaries that we usually bring on ourselves or that are imposed upon us that are very serious, like being free from our negative perspective, being free from think we know it all, like I did that day at Canuga, being free from a prejudice that maybe our family has held for years and years and years, and we're going to be the one to break it. Maybe literally being freed from prison after being imprisoned. Maybe being free from addiction or being free from thinking you have to control the one who you love that has an addiction. Maybe finding freedom in respite if you're caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's and you find out that there's a respite available that you can go for a day and have some peace to renew. And maybe it's respite from your own illness that you're going through. And that's difficult to do, but it's possible in our consciousness through friends and family and other people, that release from the boundaries. Jesus sets a woman free on the Sabbath day. Sets her free. She wasn't asking for it. He noticed this woman who had been suffering, it says, 18 long years with a spirit that caused her to bend over. Now, we don't know what was wrong with her, if she had osteoporosis or some kind of spinal deformity, or maybe it's metaphoric and she was bent over with her own grief or despair or abuse. We don't know. 18 long years is what we know. Jesus laid hands on her, and just like that, she's healed of it. And she's rejoicing. Well, there were other people that were bound by something else in the temple that day, the leaders, who were going to be rigid with the letter of the law on the Sabbath day, and they were not happy that Jesus was healing on the Sabbath day because that was considered work. How dare he do this? So much so that they were saying to everybody, if you want healing, you've got to come back tomorrow. Not today, not on the Sabbath day, not on this day for God. Really? That's basically what they were saying. And Jesus lays into them. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. You even take your oxen and your donkey to get water so that they won't get sick. And you're telling this woman who's been suffering for 18 years that she can't have release? You think God wouldn't want that? Hypocrites. He was angry, and rightly so. And rightly so. This is a little facetious, but this way of looking at the letter of the law, it's kind of like we look at the condo commandos today in Southeast Florida. I know this is a little bit of a stretch, but I see it as the leaders in that temple were so caught up in, you know, it's like you got to park your car 2 inches this way instead of 2 inches that way, or you're going to get written up. That's how they were, so bound up in whatever they were going through. I guarantee you they weren't upset for the reason they think they are. They were acting out something else going on in their lives. People do it all the time. We all do. But this letter of the law stuff isn't healthy for anyone. I have a friend who lives in a community who shall remain nameless. Probably one of many, many around here. And they don't allow pickup trucks overnight. You can have a pickup truck, but it's got to be in the garage. Can't have it outside overnight. So he keeps it in the garage. Well, one day he had the garage door open. He's out in the front yard working, and he's working in the garage, you know, going back and forth. It was open for several hours. He goes in the house. Later in the week, he gets a letter from the association saying, you got to have that garage door closed. We could see your pickup truck. They're not upset for the reason they think they are. This letter of the law, Jesus is saying, come on. I remember many years ago when I was working as a nurse at Bethesda. This was before we had a hospice there. And I was taking care of a man that was dying. He was very, very old. He was having a very peaceful death. And his wife, about, I think about 60 years, was there with him. And she crawled up into bed with him. It was one of his last nights. I just thought it was the dearest thing. And I went out to give them some privacy. And there was a charge nurse on that day that walked by the door, saw her laying there comforting her husband and him comforting her. She said, you know, that's against the rules. That's against the rules. And I must have been, I was a brand new nurse, I must have been taken aback because I just looked at her like, how do you not get this? How is this not so sacred? And the look on my face must have done it because she didn't say anything else. And I guarantee you she didn't go in that room. So we just have to be aware here. Jesus is modeling for us standing up. And he helped that woman stand up, no matter what her affliction was. He helped bring her up. And he got in trouble other times for doing things on the Sabbath, for healing on the Sabbath. One time he got in trouble for feeding his disciples who were hungry. He was picking grain, and that was against the rule on the Sabbath. They were hungry. And at that time, what he said to them was, the Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. There's two points here. Jesus saw this woman who was most likely marginalized for 18 years. They just, oh, she's the one that's hunched over. Don't worry about her. He's asking us to notice. In the text, he called her to the hypocrites he was calling out, this daughter of Abraham, to say, so are you sons and daughters of Abraham. We are all one family here. Notice her. Notice her, help her. Don't notice your rules. So that's the first thing, we're being asked to notice one another. And the second thing is to have a Sabbath on a regular basis. On a regular basis. We have to have the second one to be able to do the first one fully. We have to be able to have that time to commune with God in order to care for ourselves and one another and for our creation. We have to. It's so easy for us to forget that this is a commandment. It's not try to take some time off once in a while. It's honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's one of the ten, right up there with thou shalt not steal. And we just kind of brush over it, and we all do it, especially in this country. We get so caught up with the gotta be productive, gotta be busy, I've got so much to do, and every single one of us, I think, are probably guilty of it. I'm getting better, though. I'm getting better at it. We sometimes feel selfish. Like there's so much going on in the world, and there's so much to be done. Well, let me tell you, it'll be there when you get back. It isn't selfish. You bring more of yourself to whatever there is to do. And actually, time expands a bit. It's been shown with centering prayer. You take that time. And your days, you get more done when you take that time. God knew what he was talking about. We just forget it. Barbara Brown Taylor, who's one of my heroes, has written many, many, many books. She was a priest in active parish life for about 20 years. She's actually the one reading the prayers on Life Hymnal's second album. You want to hear her voice. She's an amazing, amazing woman. And I read this little prayer book called Celtic Daily Prayer. This is book two. And for this week, they have Barbara Brown Taylor writing about Sabbath and the importance of it. And I just have to read to you two entries, one for the 19th and one for today. So August 19th. She writes, if you slow down for a day, then all kinds of alarming things can happen. You can start crying without having the slightest idea why. You can start remembering what you loved about people who died before you were 10, along with things you did when you were 18 that still send involuntary shivers up your back. You can make a list of the times you almost died in your life, along with the reasons you are most glad to be alive. Released from bondage to the clock, you eat when you are hungry instead of when you have to. 9 times out of 10, you discover that you are far less hungry than you thought you were, or at least less so for groceries than for the bread no one can buy. As you slow down, your heart does too. The girdle of your diaphragm loosens, causing great sighs too deep for words to pour from your body. In their wake, you discover more room around your heart, a great capacity for fresh air. Sabbath sickness turns out to be a lot like other sicknesses, which until now have been the only way you could grant yourself more than one day off per week. If you flee from the pain and failure, then you run into them everywhere you go. I got to read that line again. If you flee from the pain and failure, then you run into them everywhere you go. If you can find some way to open to them instead, then they may bring their hands from behind their backs and lay flowers on your bed. And this is for today. It's a little briefer. At least one day in every 7, pull off the road and park the car in the garage. Close the door to the tool shed and turn off the computer. Stay home, not because you are sick, but because you are well. Talk someone you love into being well with you. Take a nap, a walk, an hour for lunch. Test the premise that you are worth more than what you can produce, that even if you spent one whole day being good for nothing in your eyes, you would still be precious in God's sight. And when you get anxious, because you are convinced that this is not so, remember that your own conviction is not required. This is a commandment. Your worth has already been established, even when you are not working. The purpose of the commandment is to woo you to the same truth. See how she's so great? To remember this Sabbath time will free us to care for ourselves and one another and our precious planet. Let us pray. Lord, help us consider Sabbath in a new and committed way. May we meet Jesus there. May we feel the touch of Christ. May we find the healing to stand upright in life no matter what's weighing us down. And may we see others as sisters and brothers, all in the family of God. Amen.